speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
If you have your Bible, Ephesians 5 will be the basis for our thoughts, beginning in verse 22, where the Apostle Paul actually is writing about the church, but he wants us to know the domestic duties of husbands and wives also, and children and parents. All of these are important that we know what our duties are in order that we may serve God here in a faithful manner and enjoy the blessings of heaven at last. Verse 22 begins, "Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." These are beautiful words and enhancing words to understand the church of our Lord. But what closer relationship could be called upon than husband and wife to give the close relationship between Christ and the church? That close relationship could not be any closer. Indeed, it is a wonderful thing to be a Christian, to be in the church of our Lord, and to be able to enjoy the spiritual blessings that are there. The only second next thing that would be more enjoyable, or as much as enjoyable perhaps, would be your home. And if you don't have a good Christian home, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. It's not the Bible's fault. It is our fault. And that's the reason I believe that we have the interest that we do in these subjects today. I think we realize that. And we want to notice tonight the scriptural as well as the practical comments that we might make tonight and what the survey has shown in the past about wives' complaints against husbands. You know, since the sanctity of marriage is upheld by God, it ought to be upheld by us all. Hebrews 13 again says in verse 4, the house or the family or the marriage is undefiled because it is upheld in its sanctity. Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but the whoremonger and the adulterer God will judge. There is nothing more important in our world than family stability. And yet family stability begins at home. And the houseband, the husband, is the one who has to see that that stability is working as it should. So when we see mature husbands and wives, and that's the only people that ought to marry, you know, if you're not mature yet, don't marry. You're not ready for these things. But if you are mature, then marriage is a wonderful thing. But these people want to know. They want to understand what the difficulties are from the different sides. And we as husbands don't see as clearly sometimes as the wives on certain subjects, and wives don't see as clearly as husbands on other subjects. So when we see these surveys, it does help us to understand the complaints and make correction when we ought to. Love is important in marriage. Respect is important. Appreciation is important. Worship is important. Faithfulness is important. And they go a long way in helping us to make correction when we do learn what some of those complaints are. And so we want a happy home life, but one cannot help but notice the likeness in complaint between the husbands and what they say and the wives and what they say. There are a lot of likenesses here. And so let all things be approved of the Bible. Let it be our standard and our guide in all things. And let us realize that the Lord still has all authority, not us. And it will make a happy home for us. And Jesus said, if you build your house on the rock of His teaching, then the rains may come, the winds may blow and beat upon that house, but it won't fall because it's founded upon a rock. But if we build on the sand of our own thinking, our own ways, we know it's going to crash. All the children know that. We ought to know it too. It says in Psalms 127:1, except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that built it. And in Proverbs 14:1, he said, you know, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her own hands. And it can be indeed that way. She can advance the welfare of her home by good management. The husband can advance the welfare of his home by being the house band, being that band around the house. But let's go on tonight because of our time limit to the survey. The survey says that wives complain, number one, that the husband is selfish and inconsiderate. Now, if you remember, that's the same thing we had this morning on number one also. Selfish and inconsiderate. Well, this may be true. You know, oftentimes When one decides he's not getting as much as the other, he wants to be then more selfish. And he wants to say, I want that, I want that, I'm going to have that, and I'll show you I'll get it. Well, it is indeed possible, husbands, that we are selfish and inconsiderate. And as with the complaints about the husbands and the wives, both of these things are negative. Both of them are condemned in the Bible. Let a man depart from himself, he says, and bear his cross and follow me, Luke 9:23. So always having our own way is not going to work. It just will not work anywhere, but especially in marriage. So husbands are the head of the house. They are the God-approved leader. Ephesians 5:23, we learned it here. And they're to be like Christ. Now, what kind of person was Christ? Well, he was one who gave. He was one who was sacrificial in his giving. He was willing to suffer in order that others might have what they needed. So, if sacrifice is necessary, don't you suppose husbands ought to be ready to do that? He said the husband is the head of the wife, get this now, as. That means in the same manner. Christ is the head of the church. Was he willing to suffer for the church? Oh, without a doubt. Now, if Christ had exemplified some kind of a selfish, self-centered, inconsiderate attitude, he wouldn't have gone to the cross, would he? But he didn't say, my will be done. He said in the garden, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. In Matthew 6:10, he taught us to pray, or taught his disciples the manner of prayer, when he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we ought to look not for our own things, but also for the things of others. Now, the husband is the head, but it's as Christ is the head. And that doesn't allow selfishness, does it? It doesn't allow inconsideration. Men, remember, your wife is your equal. She's not your subordinate, even though she is in her place to be your helpmeet. She is equal with you in so many ways. She's equal with you insofar as salvation is concerned and insofar as heaven is concerned. And you know, husbands make a sad mistake when they deal in money the wrong way. Do you know the greatest source of divorce in our land? It all comes down to one word, M-O-N-E-Y, money. Some husbands are so tight with the money, they don't allow her to have any kind of money unless he knows every penny of where it's gone. You're making a very selfish move on that. You know, you ought to give her some money. She ought to have some money of her own that she doesn't have to report to us where she spent it or how she spent it. And the truth of the matter is, the greatest cause of divorce being money, we need to check our attitude, gentlemen. In Matthew 7:12, Jesus said, as you would that men should do unto you, do ye even also unto them. I know a lot of men that wouldn't stand for a moment for the wife to handle all the money and pinch out every penny that he is able to spend. Well, then why should we want the ladies to be happy with that? You know, really, that's a difficult situation, I know, because men are the head, but we need to check our attitude. And you know, if anyone goes without, it's going to be me. That's what the husband's attitude ought to be. That's what Christ's attitude was. I'm willing to give. I'm willing to sacrifice. And a husband who's not willing to say that is not the kind of husband he ought to be. And don't make her account for every penny. You know, the truth of the matter is she might want to buy you a surprise. And you, if you make her account for every penny, she won't have a chance to do that. So give a little rein to that. Don't be inconsiderate. Don't be selfish. Second of all, the wives say the husband is unsuccessful in business. Now, I know that this may be a point that needs to be seen more than what we'll see it tonight. Men have a big responsibility. Young men about to marry realize how heavy a responsibility they have to support a wife and family. And that's not an easy thing. And I know that the worst place to live is beyond your means. And this being successful in business is not always an equal thought, is it? You know, successful is a relative term. And there are some wives who have to have all the labels just right in their clothing. And their wants are more than the husband can provide. And their wants are more than really they are needful of. Now, we have to live within our means if we want happiness and if we want our marriages to be as they ought to be. And it's an art to do that. I know some ladies that are able to make a penny stretch further than anybody I've ever seen. But the truth of the matter is, that is an art. It is an art to live within your means, but it's the most uncaring thing to live beyond your means. And you know, it is primarily the husband's duty and privilege to provide for the needs of the home. Since Adam, that's been true. God placed him in that garden and said, now you dress and keep it, and you'll be responsible for it. So if he recognizes his obligation, no doubt, then he has done his best, I suppose, in his business. 1 Timothy 5:8 says very simply, if any man provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he's denied the faith And he's worse than an infidel. And I think most Christian men realize this, that we have to do the best we can in business. You know, family is the best investment you can make. It is the greatest dividend that you can receive. And so invest in that family. That's more important than anything else. And as good stewards, men are obligated, of course, to make all the money they can. According to Ephesians 4:28, they're not to steal, but they're to work with their hands. And 2 Thessalonians 3:10, I quoted to a gentleman this morning who was passing through and wanted some help. I said, you know, Paul said, if a man won't work, don't let him eat. And he wasn't working, and he'd traveled all the way from California. He didn't like me. He said that wasn't the Spirit of Christ. Well, that's exactly what the Spirit of Christ is. If a man won't work, don't let him eat. Men ought to make all they can. They ought to save all they can. Not be wasteful. John 6:12, you know, even after Jesus fed the 5,000, he picked up the baskets full that were left over. And he ought to give all he can to his family, to the Lord's work. But wives, you're going to have to help him. And you may have to refuse some things that you might otherwise desire in order to be satisfied. Wives, next of all, say that husbands are untruthful. Well, that's a bad charge, isn't it? But that's what the survey said. You know, husbands cannot lead in religious matters if they're called untruthful. And gentlemen, if you are not what your word is, you are worthless. It ought to be true that every one of us ought to seek to be truthful. Do you know your children will not have one bit of respect for you when you pray at the table if you don't tell the truth? Well, if your children know you're a liar and a cheat, they're not going to have any respect for you now or later. So if these wives have anything on the correct side of this thing about husbands being untruthful, let it be said that we want to change that right now. Successful marriage can't be built on that. It has to be built on trust. And distrust won't work. And our word ought to be as good as bond. Our word should be that which people can depend on, whether it be in the home or whether it be in the church or whether it be away. Now, in fact, Colossians 3 says, the reason it shows we put off the old man with his deeds is because we're not lying anymore. And if you are lying, or if you are one that can't be trusted in your word, if your word is not faithful, you're not faithful to your family. Did you know that? And Christians are to be the most trustworthy people in all the world. Revelation 21:8 said, all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, and that's not an idle threat. That is indeed as truthful as it can possibly be. And you know, it, good or bad, dads, your influence is going to be remembered. I say almost on a daily basis, well, I remember what my dad did about such and such. Or I remember my dad said this or he said that. You know what? Your children are going to say the same if you're truthful and upright. And I want you to know that, dads, you just don't know how far-reaching your real influence is right now. And if you're untruthful, you are the most unwise man that's ever walked the earth. Integrity goes further than anything else. And integrity is a must for a husband, for a wife. And if a man's word, let me say again, can't be trusted, he can't be trusted in anything. Dad, you're the greatest example a child has. There is nothing that robs a child more than to remove a dad from the home. But these are the greatest examples, either for good or bad, that a child has. And Christians, of course, these are men who guard their hearts very carefully because they're interested in their children. The next thing, number four, the wives say the husbands complain too much. That's what the survey says. Well, complaining can be a habit, can't it? It can become a habit. The more we complain, the more we want to complain. And it gets to where we may complain all the time. Maybe the wives are right about this. But you know, if you're going to complain, keep it to yourself, will you? Because when you go out complaining to others, you're going to probably disclose some things you shouldn't have disclosed. You know, private things ought to be kept sacred. And we ought to have some kind of family loyalty. We ought to be loyal to our family to the extent we want the best for them. And if we're going to complain, let's just do it to ourselves and not to anybody else. You know, sometimes maybe complaints are justified. Sometimes they're not. But I know one thing. Some people are never happy. They complain all the time. They get in a habit of that. Even though Philippians 2:14 and 15 talks about those who have always obeyed. And then he says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become harmless and blameless children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you've seen as lights in the world. You know, wives, though listening to complaints and offering some solutions may stop those things. Yes, if he has a complaint, listen to him. And then try to help him. You are his helpmeet. And maybe you can show him how he can change that attitude. And husbands, let me warn you about criticizing or complaining about your wives publicly. That is a very unwise thing to do. Do not criticize your wife publicly. Do not put her down. If so, it's not the wife that has a problem, it's you. And any man who criticizes his wife in public needs to know he's the one who has the problem. So when we think about this, you know, it's surprising what we can do in these marriages. We have a chance to complain, maybe, but then to uncomplain those who don't need to complain. And it's always been an amazing thing to me what a 98-pound woman can do with a 250-pound husband. Now, she can help him, can't she? And she can direct him in the right direction. Number five, wives say husbands do not show affection. Well, some grown people can't seem to do that. I've known men who could not hug their children. They could not give them a kiss. They could not say, I love you. And I feel sorry for those men because in this lack, they're going to lose an awful lot. And you know, when those children get grown, they're going to look back and they're going to say, I don't know my dad. I really didn't know him. I really couldn't get close to him. You know, he never hugged me. He never told me he loved me. There's something wrong in that, friends. Affection, though, is a learned behavior. It is indeed. And some husbands, of course, have not seen fathers that have showed affection, and so they don't know how. They've never shown affection themselves. Role models are so important. And role models are going to tell how your children are affected in their marriages. And those role models are important in marriage. You know, you've heard like father, like son, like mother, like daughter, and that's right. It is hard to get around your raising. It's really hard to get above it. But we need to learn to be interested in the wife's activities too, don't we? Because that's a way we show affection. You know, some men say, I don't want to do anything with my wife. Well, you better start. You better learn how to shop if you don't already know how. They like to shop. I don't know if you know that or not. But you know, wives enjoy shopping, and you better learn how to go with them on some of that. I know Maggie and I made a pact when we first married that she wouldn't go fishing with me and I wouldn't go shopping with her, but I've learned how to shop. And I've learned how to be patient while she goes from store to store to store, and then she goes back to that first one and buys what she saw to start with. But listen, that's a part of affection. That's a part of understanding. And ladies, remember, affection begets affection. So if you want to see that affection, you've got to show that affection. And husbands, remember, our duty is to be like Christ. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. And that's one of the ways you show it. All right, number six, wives. Husbands, the husband doesn't talk things over. He keeps all these things bottled up. He keeps them to himself. He broods over them. I know something's wrong, but he won't tell me what it is. He won't let me in. And it's true that men tend to keep our problems bottled up, and sometimes we don't want to affect the wife in an adverse way. But you know, husbands ought to trust their best friend. Trust your best friend in life. Talk to her. Let her know what's happening and what's going on in your life, as well as wanting to know what's going on in hers. Remember, you're not two anymore, you're one. In Matthew 19, he said, now what God has joined together, they're not any longer one or two. I mean two, they're one. They're not twain. When he joined them together, they became one. And so, my friends, wives need to cultivate this by love and trust. When he learns he can trust you, when he learns you can keep your word, when he learns that you will not spread those things to others that don't need to know about them, then that's a confidant. And that's really important. But wives, do you listen to your husbands? Do you try to understand what his problems are? Very important, isn't it? All right, another objection. And number seven, wives say the husband is harsh with the children. Harsh with the children. No time for the children. When they ask a question, he says, get away from me. I don't have time for you. Well, again, he makes a sad mistake right there. I know there's some difficult days, days when the job doesn't go as it ought to. Everything seems to go wrong. We all have those days. But you know, wives can also contribute to that situation. They cannot practice discipline on their own, and they'll say to the children, you just wait till your husband gets home, or wait till your father gets home, brother. He'll take care of this matter. Well, that father walks in, and she says, y'all know what Johnny did today. He's already worn out. He's already tired. He doesn't feel like talking about the difficulties that you're having at home. And you, wives, ought to take care of that. You ought to rule the household under the headship of the husband. And so in knowing that, don't wait till the husband gets home and then put all that on top of him also. You know, loving families are the result of working together, praying together, playing together, saving together, doing everything together. And discipline is a big part of that. So don't put it off on one or the other. The husband shouldn't say, let the wife take care of it, or the wife say, I'll let the husband take care of it. You're a parent, take care of it yourself. And do it when it needs doing, and don't wait till later. Number eight, wives say husbands are touchy. They explode easily. You know, the little boy in Bible class, when the teacher told him that God is like our earthly father, he made an outstanding statement. He said, I don't like God. He said, the reason I don't like God is because you said he's like my father. And I don't like my father. That certainly would knock the blocks out from under me if I were so touchy and exploded so easily that my children couldn't even be around me or nor like me. I'd be ashamed of myself. I certainly would feel that indeed I needed to make a change. And you know, it may help the wives if we would understand these things and see that they have to not hold problems until he comes home, and then when he walks through the door, dump them on him. That'll be fine. He's already ready for the chair. And after a hard day or an easy day either, home should be a place that he can enter into without having to meet more problems all at one time. That doesn't mean later you can't talk them over, but it means let's give him time to get calm and rested. And we do not blow up, you know, gentlemen, because we are gentlemen. We try to hold that which we have. You know, if you can keep from blowing up with your boss, you can keep from blowing up with your wife. You can keep from blowing up with your children. I know men say, I just can't help it. You can help it. And you need to learn to help it. If you can hold it back any other time, you ought to hold it then. And you ought to be a gentleman. Problems, of course, need to be talked over. They need to be discussed. Husbands and wives don't have to make a decision immediately. Let it maybe sleep over it. Make that final decision in the morning. But husbands, don't be touchy and explosive with your wives. Number nine. Wives say husbands have no interest in the children. Well, I realize that husbands have a great responsibility in their work and in carrying out the things of a house band, of husband. They realize the great importance of the home. But fathers, you need to take some time for those children. It doesn't matter what you do. If you bat the ball, if you throw the football, if you take them fishing, it doesn't matter what it is. But you need to take some time with those children. If you miss the first 15 years, you'll never catch up. Did you know it? That child will never have the respect for you that they ought to have. Heard of one man who wrote in his diary one day, wasted the day, took my son fishing. And the son wrote in his diary, greatest day of my life, Dad took me fishing. You know, it depends on which side you're looking at that thing from. But I can tell you, fathers, you sure can wake up sorrowful someday if you've wasted those good years that would never be regained. You know, your leadership in the home is so important, and it's your responsibility. And the saddest words of all would be for a child to say, I don't know my dad. He never had time for us. He was always too busy with other things, and we never talked together. You know, my dad is a stranger. Oh, how that would cut to the heart. In Ephesians 6, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, if you don't help children obey, they don't know you. If the wife or the mother is the only one who extends any discipline, they don't have any respect for you because you've never done anything. You've been gone all the time. And you know, we've just got to change that thing. If we're not interested in our children now, they're not going to be interested in us when we get older. He says, honor thy father and mother in Ephesians 6, and that means take care of them even when they get older. Well, we have to pass on to number 10. The wife says that husbands are not interested in the home. They're not interested in home. Beautiful clothes will not take the place, gentlemen, of time. And you have to be interested in your home. If you have no time because of the almighty dollar, you've got your priorities mixed up. You need to see the difference in what that dollar can do and what your time can do. Now, job is important. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that not at the price of losing your family. If you're paying that price for the job, you're paying too big a price. You need to cut down on that to the extent you can give some time to your family. And indeed, wives, you need to know that a man's house is his castle. And you need to help him make that because it should be pleasant for him to come home to. And disagreements are not to be brought up immediately when he gets in the door. They're to be settled in private. They're not to be settled before the children. They're not to be settled before the neighbors. They're not to be settled before your girlfriend. That's the wrong thing to do. And you will make a very difficult situation if that's the way you're going to act. You know, since our home here is to be a foretaste of heaven, we ought to seek to make our home here as much like heaven as we can possibly make it. Now, heaven's going to be a place of peace and rest and joy. Is your home like that? Or is your home a turmoil of fighting and fussing adults that can't get along, that don't have a kind word to say to each other? Wouldn't that be a horrible way to live? But that's the way some homes are. And it's not the Christian's home. If it is, he'll change it. You know the three most important words, as we said this morning, for a successful marriage? Communication, communication, and communication. Those are the three words. Keep those avenues open. Never close the door on that, because it's so important. And let courtesy show. Gentlemen, I know the wives didn't say anything much about this courtesy business, but that's the underlying cause of much of this. You can pull her chair out. It won't hurt you. And you can open the door for her. It won't hurt you. You showed all those courtesies before you married her. Now that you have her, you don't care to show them anymore. Is that right? Oh, before you married, if there was the slightest little puddle, you say, wait a minute, let me take my coat off, and you can walk across on it. But now, one child under each arm, you say, well, jump that puddle if you want to come with me, and come on, let's go. You know, that's really not right, is it? So we need to let courtesy show before marriage and after marriage, and we need to do those things that show us to be gentlemen. Don't be a heel after you become married. Be a gentleman. Be a Christian gentleman. And there must be a sharing of things in common with our spouse, such as our thoughts and our plans and our future thoughts and feelings and intentions. And, you know, really, life is just too short to be unhappy, isn't it? Peter said some beautiful words in 1 Peter 3 when he said, he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, that means refuse it, and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, we ought to have the psalmist thought too of Psalms 19:14 when he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Husband and wife relationship is an important thing. The home is most important. It ought to be sacred to us, and we ought to indeed take it seriously, do all that we can to make it the best we can, and then we'll be happy because we labored to make others happy. And you know, that really is what's important. But again, if you're not a Christian, you can't have a Christian home. You have to hear the gospel, because that's what you build your home on as well as your hope for eternal life. Hear it and believe it with all of your heart and repent of the sins of your life. Make the good confession with your mouth of who your new king is, Jesus Christ the Lord, and then obey him. And after, of course, you've risen from the waters of baptism where your sins are washed away, you'll have a new life to walk in and the hope of heaven as you live for him who died for you. If you're here not a Christian, why not? You ought to become one tonight. You shouldn't put it off. You don't know if there's another opportunity. And if you are a Christian and yet you've turned away and acted in a wrong manner towards your family, toward the church, then make it right tonight. If you're subject, will you come? While together we stand and while we sing.